Well, hello everyone. Happy upcoming new year. This is Miss Lalita Dorinda Williams, the author of Be Strong, Stay Strong, and Escape from Hate Land. My most recent publications is a series entitled Contemplating a Sip of Satan's Sweet Tea. All of them have the same title, but a different subheader. I'm going to go ahead and give a quick shout out to Mrs. Thalia E. Williams, who published Launching Out into the Deep. That is why you haven't heard from Lalita, because Lalita has been helping other individuals with getting their dreams out there. And so go ahead and pick up her book. You can reach out to her, locate her on social media. I would recommend you get an autographed copy, because what's the point of getting a copy of a book, especially when it's about someone's life and it's not autographed? She is currently stationed in Texas. But if, you know, you're not one of those who want to autograph a John Hancock of someone, which I would recommend, then you can definitely pick up her book online, Amazon. Again, it is Launching Out into the Deep by Thalia E. Williams. No, we're not related. There are like a gazillion Williams out there, and Williams is not my maiden name, and neither is it hers. But that's neither here nor there. Today's Keep It Simple series episode, and I know y'all missed me. It's like, where have you been all my life, Lalita? Lalita has been here, but Lalita has been working on herself and doctoring on herself emotionally as well. I have gotten into this serious kick of reading all of these psychology books. And I just completed one book by Dr. Saadia Liwan Twine entitled Get Naked. Yes, I know it sounds erotic, but it is not. It is talking about how to love again and learning how to be emotionally open and available. And I took the book as, this wasn't in her book, but this is how I took it, where you know you wouldn't go around flashing someone physically, because that's just showing too much of yourself. You don't go around flashing yourself emotionally, because that's just too much. Have you ever been in the company of someone who just dropped the detail about themselves? And it's like, dude, I'm just trying to find the right type of pineapple. I didn't need to know what was going on like that. So it's the same emotionally, where you just don't do things like that to people. You have to maintain a boundary, things like that. Just because you're free don't mean that you just start going out streaking emotionally or physically. Anywho, back to the topic. So with people who are getting ready to go into the new year, be it they're going to church, watch night service, or going to the club, what have you, people know that I am a Bible-believing Christian, but yet individuals who are not Christian still follow me, and that's okay. These principles still apply. So with all of these different things where people have these New Year's resolutions, where they're like, I'm going to lose weight, gain weight, get toned, get fit, you know, not allow people to take advantage of me anymore, not drink, not smoke, whatever, or sleep around. But if a person does not really know how to set that proper boundary and how to go about where to start, is they end up giving up before February even gets here. And so with Beyond Boundaries, it's just like, oh my God, it was life-changing. I saw some of me in here, co-workers, colleagues, friends, family members, but it wasn't to take advantage, because the way the book is constructed, it is impossible to try to take advantage of someone based upon what you read or locate. If anything, it helps you understand why they go about the way that they go about it and why they do what they do. And at one point in the book, it was talking about not settling. And it was saying how, you know, sometimes in life we do have to settle. Like, for example, some family members have to settle for not spending as much money as they would normally spend because they need to reach a common goal. Okay, we don't really think of settling like that, but that's the word he used. Another one he said was, gave an example of our parents who have to eventually settle for not being as controlling with their children, because it's like they're adults now and you have to let them live their life and you don't give unsolicited advice. Some parents still aren't trying to hear that. But when it comes to relationships, he was saying we often settle too soon. And he said, and when we settle in a relationship too soon, be it a marriage, dating, family, friendships, or even at work, and then we get hurt, then that's when we have a tendency to withdraw. And when there's pain in a situation, the withdrawal response is generally enacted to help protect us and get us further away from that discomfort or damage. And then he goes on to talk about different ways people settle rather than deal with the pain. And I originally, when I was recording this, then I erased it because I'm like, I am not narrating this book. I'm like, I just wanted to go ahead and hit on some points here or there. So I deleted that episode and now I'm re-recording it. And so I talked about different ways people settle in order for them to kind of cope with the situation where they were hurt. Some people settle by staying in a tolerable marriage that's not like an adversary type marriage, but yet at the same time, they're not close. It's like, what kind of marriage is that, right? But he also went to the other extreme, where he says some people settle for dating a succession of people without ever making a commitment. And when I read that part, it reminded me of one guy. I was digging him. He was digging me. But something that kind of turned me off was that it seemed like before he was finished with seeing one woman, there was another woman always lined up, then another, and then it just kind of turned me off emotionally, alone as well as physically, you know, not that I was going to do anything with him that way, but it turned me off emotionally because it's like he's not giving himself a chance to heal, cope, regroup, find out why things went wrong, why it went south, why he's picking this type of woman or this type of woman is picking him. And it just kind of turned me off because I'm like, he ain't giving himself a chance to heal. You know, it's like, you know, one week is Sally Sue, next week is Betty Jane. It's like, no, not feeling that. And so he even went on back to the book. He gave the example of some individuals who even keep their most important friendships at a comfortable distance. And that reminded me of one person was like, every time I would be like, hey, how you doing? Everything was always great. And it's like 8 months, 18 years later, everything's always great. And I'm like, you know what? Everything is not always great. Either we're friends or we're not. And apparently we're not friends, or you're not comfortable being friends or being vulnerable, or you don't feel that I'm a safe place or safe space. That's okay. If that's how you feel, then we can't use the title of friend, because a friend, as the Bible would say, is someone who sticks closer than any brother. And that's also someone you would see and feel as being trustworthy. And if the person, if I'm giving out vibes of not being trustworthy, then I can't be your friend. I'm a colleague, I'm a peer, I'm an associate, but then I also won't make myself available physically or by phone if that's the case, because I make time for my friends. I'm just saying. So, and then he went on to say, some individuals avoid pain and settle in life by redirecting their energies and focus into activities rather than relationships, which just isn't cool whatsoever, period. And so he went on to even address Christians, how we're taught about taking personal responsibility, things like that, about giving, caring, loving, sacrificing, and forgiving. but have very little understanding about other significant issues. What Christians should or should not take ownership of in a relationship, what choices to fight for, how not to enable toxic patterns such as addictions, sin, and abuse. I have to say that is very accurate. Most people do not follow what the Bible says. If you know someone is offended with you, or you offended with the person, you go to that person. Most people don't do that. They normally just go into the categories that the book entitled Beyond Boundaries by Dr. Joan Townsend, Learning to Trust Again in Relationships. They normally don't follow that whatsoever. They normally just avoid, divert the attention, throw their attention and affections into another person or object, thing, or even a substance, but they don't address it. So yeah, that's not healthy. That's not safe whatsoever. That's not how we were created to be. Excuse me. So I really enjoyed that from what I had shared thus far. And it's really, 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 really helping me. He gave some really good points on page 17. He said intimacy is complex. And we're not talking about sex. It's talking about being open and vulnerable, just like Dr. Saadia Lewontwine also mentioned in her book, Get Naked. Excellent read. I definitely recommend you get that book as well. It's a psych session in a book, so you don't have to be feeling squirmy or anything, because you can evaluate yourself. And if you feel you need further assistance, I recommend that, you know, you go ahead and seek her out. She's on social media as well, and her handle is Eros Meet Agape. And it's not Eros like bow and arrows, but it's Eros from the Greek, which is lust or sex, Eros meets agape, which is basically means love without limits, or love the way God loves. So when Dr. Townsend said intimacy is complex, he's not talking about sex. He's talking about connecting on a deep personal emotional level. He said, and it's not mysterious. Just as the laws of boundaries are clear, so are the rules of closeness and risk. You were meant to live beyond self-protection and to become close to other people again. It is well worth the risk and the effort to have the relationships you truly desire. So I'm going to stop right there. He even gave examples like some people emotionally will make you feel like you don't have to be so guarded or protected. So emotionally, you can be around a person in your pajamas and house coat, for example. He said, whereas other individuals, you feel like you need to have on a bomb squad uniform, what have you, when you're in their presence, all because of how your interactions were with them. And he even defined different types of relationship type trust. He gave the example of some individuals have functional trust, where they're reliable at work, they show up on time, they have an excellent work ethic. Every time something is due, they always turn it in when it's due. But when it comes to relational ethic, the person may be a liar, the person may be immature, the person may be a backstabber, the person may not be someone you can trust with your personal information or anyone's personal information, period, because they're not trustworthy there. And so that helped me understand, how is it like, oh my gosh, this person is exquisite when it comes to work, but you can't tell them nothing. It's like sunshine and the moon. It's like they're only out at different times of the day. And I'm like, how in the world can these two things coexist? But it's like the person chose to excel in what they can put their hands to rather than excelling in character and excelling in confidentiality and excelling in integrity. I don't care if someone who doesn't like you does have a vulnerable moment in front of you. It is not your right to share their vulnerable moment. That just happened to happen in your company, and it's not for you to broadcast it to the world. That's just that honor code. I don't understand what's going on with this honor code or the big sister, big brother syndrome, where you're working with someone, but because you're over them, you feel that gives you a right to lord over them. No, we only have one Lord, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may have been given a position of leadership or authority, but you are not the only source of income on the planet, boo-boo. Go have a seat. God didn't give you a right to lord over an individual and try to make them feel subservient. And then everything is always someone else's fault when it's your lack of integrity and character. Hush, go get a counseling session. Go, you know, go get a Whopper. You can have it your way, you know, however you want it at Burger King, but you can't do that with people. And so I clearly see how there is a collapse when it comes to certain organizations, because there are so many surveys that clearly say that some individuals will take massive or 50% pay cuts if they can be in an environment where their leadership or their colleagues or supervisors are at peace. It doesn't mean that everybody's buddy-buddy. It doesn't mean that everyone goes out the happy hour, but everyone act and conduct and carry themselves like adults. They respect one another. They're not stealing ideas, taking things as their work and things like that, and treating a person with integrity and character. People will take a 50% pay cut for that, rather than being in an environment where they don't know what to say, how to say it, walking on eggshells. The boss is just blowing up at the slightest thing, or being a micromanager, always hovering over a person, nitpicking, or just flat out jealous or insecure. Pharaoh was a sinner. He ain't even served God, but yet he recognized the work ethic and the integrity of Joseph, and he even promoted him to second in command over everything, and he was not intimidated by it. A true, real one who is a leader, boss, supervisor, management, however you want to call it, will take advantage of a person knowing what more than them. Now, there is a difference between taking advantage of the person's skill to your advantage versus taking advantage of a person by using them. Real people with integrity and character and an awesome work ethic who is about it, they don't use people. They don't take advantage of people. They take advantage of what the person brings to the table and help elevate them, because they know all it does is, by them elevating them, it elevates them, if that makes any sense. And then you're one big happy family, and it just makes the organization do well, rather than, you know, trying to get juice from a turnip and trying to get everything you can out the person and then discarding them and making people think that you got turnip juice from a banana. People know. I don't know why people think no one knows, but people knows. But I'm going to go ahead and close it off right there. This is just an excellent read. I'm hoping that this will definitely help individuals with what they need to do for the new year. And please note that just because you set a boundary, like where you where the person end and where you begin. Just because you set a boundary, people have free will. People have a choice. And they can choose not to respect your boundary, which means you setting the boundary hoping that they see the error of their ways and y'all get closer. That may not happen. That person may distance themselves as well and eventually leave you and leave the relationship. Is it your fault that you set clear boundaries that you're not going to let a person treat you or talk to you any kind of way? Absolutely not. Some people may blow up, get frustrated, go off on you and try to recruit the world to come against you because you won't go along with their antics. Is that your problem? No, that is theirs. So don't even allow for that madness or that foolishness to mess with your head. And when you set that boundary, you have to keep in mind that that person may choose not to want to be in your company and may choose to try to have other people turn on you because you don't want to be bothered. And if you thirsty, if you don't have other people that you enjoy being in the company of, and if you're not comfortable in your own skin, you will turn around and eventually give in to whatever that person wants because you're not whole. You haven't made up yourself to have someone or other individuals who are healthy or safe in your company to help fill that void until you get stronger. So you definitely, for those who are Christians, you definitely want to pray for healthy unions and healthy relationships and being able to learn and discern who you can open up to and who you can't. And the last thing I'm going to close with is if you set a boundary and you start to miss the person, let's just say it's your boyfriend, fiance, whatever, or your best friend from childhood, and you start to miss them. But you set a boundary like, look, if you keep cussing me out every time you get mad at a ball game, we can't hang out anymore, but you missing that person. And they'd be like, you know what? I'm so sorry. You know, can we start hanging out again? And you give in too soon before you've actually had a time to clearly see and test over time to see if they really change, it's going to be worse. It's going to be 10, 25% worse because they feel like, oh, okay, I could just keep coming back because they weren't serious. They just had a moment. No, you need to stick with it. You need to stick with it. And if they really value your relationship, they really value the union, they're going to go ahead and make those changes. And if they don't, it was their choice. It was their choice. So, it was their choice. So in closing, I'm going to read an excerpt from page 51 where it says, unhealthy responses to the new desire. Distancing yourself from someone without having anywhere else to go relationally makes it more likely that you will compromise your boundaries by returning to or giving greater power to your difficult person. Jesus's parable of spirits and an empty house echoes this truth from Matthew 12:43-45. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, number one, swept and clean, number two, and put in order, number three. Then it goes and take with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. Though Jesus' story is about the need for spiritual rejuvenation, the principle is the same. After a relational difficulty, if you set your limits but are empty inside, you are even more vulnerable to allowing a toxic or untimely relationship into your life. Terrible. I know, it was just terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And so he also mentioned, you know, banish victimhood. Some people have a tendency to see themselves as a victim. When they put up self-protection and then they're trying to re-enter trusting people again. And here's the definition of victimhood: a sense of globalized globalized, sorry, helplessness to act and make things better, a focus on the bad other, and the perception of moral superiority. So basically, global helplessness means you feel you have no choices, that others make you do things you don't want to do. Global helplessness can result from negative experiences beyond your control. Sometimes the line between trust and control is blurred, and you allow their perceptions to determine your choices more than you should. This dynamic creates a sense of helplessness, a feeling that you cannot choose to protect yourself when you are around someone you care about. This is how a codependent wife of an alcoholic, you know, end up in certain situations. When he's sober, oh my gosh, baby, I'm so sorry, so sorry, so sorry. But when he gets into those particular situations with drinking, and then he turns into, you know, the Siamese devil again, you know, just, it's just terrible. And she just feel like, oh my gosh, there's nothing I can do. Yes, you can do something. You can kick him out, keep him out, and not allow for him to come back in for another year after he's done rehab. I don't care what he says, what he does, or what have you. You have to stick with it, or he's going to continue to do it. And you can't make a person stop drinking, but it gives him an initiative if he wants to be with you. I'm just saying. And then it said, he said that he has seen this happen in the workplace as well, especially with some, when someone reports to a controlling boss. Hallelujah. The person feels hemmed in by the micromanaging and in reality has limited choices in the first place because he's dealing with a boss. The result is a sense of why even try? Do not ever give in to the help, this helpless position. You don't have infinite choices. None of us is God. But unless someone has a gun to your head, you always have a choice. For example, in the case of the controlling boss, I have worked with professionals who first had to learn to have the tough conversations with their supervisor. Then they had to have another meeting with the boss and the boss's boss, followed by a meeting with the HR department. It is time consuming, but the person is designed to work. Maximize your choices. Do it the hard way and don't give in to global helplessness. And when all else fails, that is not the only job of the century where you will do well. You know, come on. And then another one is focusing on the other person as bad, where you just keep seeing the person's bad. They're terrible, whatever. You know, they'll never do better. Never, 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 never. And then there's the perception of moral superiority, where you feel like, oh, I would never do that. You know, they did this and they did that. It's like, come on, stop. Stop, people. And speaking of stop, I'm going to stop right there because it's like, yeah, I'm going to stop right there because I don't want people to think I'm picking on them. And all I'm doing is just talking about my psychology book, which is Beyond Boundaries by Dr. Who is this? John Townsend. So that's it. Happy New Year in a few years. Oh, no, not in a few years. In a few hours, in some countries that listen to me, it already is a new year. Happy New Year to all of you. Well, this concludes my Keep It Simple series episode for the week and for the year. If you would like to know more about me, you can follow me on a plethora of avenues. The first one is Be Strong, Stay Strong, which is Only One Law on Facebook, as well as God Given University Publishing LLC, located on Instagram, Facebook, and the webpage, which is the acronym for God-Given University Publishing LLC at WordPress.com. I also have my own personal author page website, which is LolitaWilliams.com. Well, I have to leave you with a homework assignment. As you locate some of the things that I share, zero in on where you see you can do better and work towards that. Inch by inch is a cinch. Well, until I record again, cast all of your cares upon Jesus Christ because he cares for you. And stay prayerful. It changes things for real.